Okay, Abba Isai. Before we continue, we are approaching. You know, I just open up. You know, I try to de-dust. What's called to take the to de-dust to end dust.
What's the
taking the dust away? How are you going to say that? As I was trying to, you know, trying to look at my Pesach Hilchos, Pesach Sforim, and not yet the Haggadahs, we're not quite there yet, but still trying to like. You know, like a little bit, I'm open up and I saw a beautiful story. I want to share it with you. It's a one-minute story, very, very nice. Abinyamin Rabinovitz. I don't know if you remember Abinyamin Rabinovitz. I actually remember him. Yerushalayim, this ultra tzaddik, very, 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 how should we call it? Very, look, Miashaorim, Abinyamin Rabinovitz, very, very Yerushalmi, very great tzaddik in its, you know, in its sense of a very, in Yiddish, you're going to say Ogehiten, you know, like very remote and very distant and very, very holy, very, very holy, generally very holy. All the chumbas, all the tzitkas, all the preachers, very, very special person. So, Binyamin Rabinovitz, his son has got dusted a tish on literally on Me'ashorim. So, so he was macked with all the chumbas and once, you know, in Etzol, it's quite easy to keep the chatzois avikoim. In Etzol, it's a lot easier than here. A lot easier to do the, although this year,
the second night will be easier.
Second night will be easier, yeah. So anyway, it's normally quite straightforward. But one year there was a delay. There was a delay and he just ran in Maggid, schlepped and everything. And here you go, Binyamin Rabinovitz was just washing for the matzahs, and he was just literally quite a short time before Chatzos. And his sons then said, okay, Daddy, you know, we better hurry up now when you know, it's time to, you know, we've got to have the Afikoman now and everything. And he said, No. But Daddy, it's 17 minutes till Chatzos. No. He has the soup, and he has this, and he has that, and he takes his time. Daddy, 8 minutes till Chatzos. No, don't worry, relax. And he goes to the main course and everything, and dak, Chatzos is over. Chatzos is over. First time ever, you know, they've been doing, they remember their father for the last 60 years, 70 years, never ever missed Chatzos. He's all chilled about it, all cool about it. He's missing Chatzos with elegance and style, no worries. And they can't get over it. What's going on over here? He's missing Chatzos, Hafikom and everything. And then when his wife goes in and she brings out the dessert or whatever it is. So, you have to realize what kind of tzaddik he was and what kind of, his whole being was like aloof, like, you know, like high up and everything. He looks into his children's eyes, and they were the grandparents in their own right, and he says, you know, chatzois, afikoymen, you know, that's a chumrah. It's a great chumrah, and we've been makbid for the last 80 and so years. I've been makbid on it, it's true. But this year we ran a bit late, yeah? And mommy has cooked so hard for you. She's cooked so hard. Look how much mommy worked for Yom Tov. You know, they tell these kids, you know, grandparents in their own right, and mommy's worked so hard for Yom Tov. And, you know, do you think I'm just going to, like, you know, I'm just going to tell her, forget it, everything out, I'm just going to go for the Afikoman? That's a deraisa. That's for sure deraisa. Is that really what the Rebbe Hashem wants from us? You think that's what Kadosh Baruch wants from us? You know, I forget about Chatzos. You know, it's a chumun, somebody else's cheshmun. We don't do that. And I think it's just very important to realize what kind of person he was. And you wouldn't expect that kind of, you know, it's not very... And that's the story of Binyamin Rabinovitz, as shared by... We discussed it, we learned, because I think that it's a machloikus. It's a machloikus. It's a machloikus. Some hold that... Yeah, that's right. Okay, so perhaps chumra is perhaps the wrong wording, yeah. So if you paskin that you've got to do it, you've got to, yeah.
Does everyone agree with the Tanai to get out of it?
No, the Tanai, it goes a long way. It's a bit controversial. Not everybody liked the Tanai. Not everybody likes the Tanai, but it definitely helps a bit. It helps a bit. Yeah, so you're right, perhaps chumra is the wrong. It's a machloikas. I suppose it's a machloikas. So if you could you call it a chumra?
Somebody was house, you know you're going to be doing the Tanai.
Yeah. So it's a
quarter before
yeah.
The morning time.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I just want to share this with you. Of course, la halacha v'lo lemaisa, but it should do according to his mesorah, according to his parents' house, and according to his understanding. But it's definitely a very beautiful story because the gist of the story, the yesod of the story, is definitely very. Rabbi Isai, Simon Tov Kuf Mem Zayin, if you'd aleph. I do hope Jonathan is around tonight. Talking about grave diggers. Jonathan, are you here?
Yeah. Of course.
You're still on. Very good. Okay. So ein choyfin koychin bechafira bekvoris bevinu bechol amoid. I'm in Sif Yud Aleph. We are learning that you're not allowed to choyfin koychin bechafira. You're not allowed to make the to dig the holes, dig the grave diggers. Not allowed to produce the graves on chol amoid. Bevinu bechol amoid. Liyo is muchonim to be prepared and ready lemeis for the nifta shiomos when he's dying. So you're not allowed to actually, the grave dig is not allowed to actually do the grave digging on Chol HaMoed. Avol, but mechan chinoisam, you're allowed to, what we would call, finish it off and polish it off, kind of. Sheima yo'oruch mekatzer, if it was too wide and too long, you're allowed to shorten it. Oy marichoy, or if it was a bit too narrow and short, you're allowed to widen it. Oy marchivoy. So that's what you're not allowed to do. The Mishnah, of course, clarifies, it's very important, halacha, that in Sivkot and Chovdalet, Shoyudak on Lachboy Kuchin Lios Muzumonim, Letzorich Mezim Shemusu. They would tend to prepare these graves in advance. You're not allowed to do that because the Tircha is Seri, because it's a great Tircha. It's a lot of work. Avol Letzorich Hamoyet, but Letzorich Hamoyet Likvoy Bermes Besorich Hamoyet, but if somebody dies on Chol HaMoed, and you've got to have a grave ready for him today, then obviously allowed to do it. So we're not referring to somebody dying on Chol HaMoed and you've got to have a grave ready for him today. No. That's of course okay. What are you going to do with him? Can't keep him on the street. We're talking about the grave diggers who are well prepared, well organized, and they want to do a few in advance. So that would you not allowed to do. Can I just ask, what's the common practice today now? How does it work? How does it actually work today?
Well, you're talking about Jewish grave diggers.
Yes, I am.
I've never met a Jewish grave digger.
Yeah. Right, okay. So, but how did I actually do it? You're right, of course, to ask a goat to do it would be fine. Although I'm thinking now, we've learned previously that whatever you're not allowed to do yourself, you're not allowed to ask a goat to do in Chol HaMoed. So perhaps I'm actually not necessarily referring to a, whilst the words of Shulchan Aruch is clearly talking about a yid, but perhaps the same halach would be with regards to a goy as well. So, yes, even with regards to a goy.
Is this Parnassa? Is this Parnassa?
Yeah. So you are saying that what? That's because he's Parnassa.
It's contractual work. He's employed. Yeah, he's employed to do that work.
Do they actually dig on Chol HaMoed, even for in advance?
Yeah.
They would.
You can't dig a hole more than the day before. It's not practical, especially in this country, because they collapse.
Right. Okay, but that's of course a very. That would mean that it's fine, because if we're talking about short term, they know that they're going to need this. Is it specifically for every nifta, or do they just do a few in advance? How does it work? They obviously.
You generally don't do it in advance. You dig a few hours before the.
Yeah, that's anyway okay. That's the Mishnah Berurah says. If it's for a specific nifta that died and we need it today, that's going to be fine anyway. Yeah. Today, what kind of tools did they actually use? How did they do it?
Sometimes it's by machinery.
Machinery, right.
Digger machines for when they're working in an open space, but obviously if they're working between graves, they're having to hand dig, so it's using tools,
right?
Spades, whatever.
Right, there you go, Rabbi says. So yes, so they sometimes use even machinery, but since they're doing it for a person a few hours before, then obviously it's going to be permitted as per Mishnah Berurah. So they've gotten chovei that. It's perfectly fine. Good, very good. Shkoyach. So if you'd base Rabbi say, and litlosh asovim ve'ofo bechol amoed, you're not allowed to be toileish. What's the bitoileish? To cut off asovim grass ve'ofa bechol amoed beveis akvorois. You're not to take all the weeds and flowers and everything that grows in the cemetery in the beis achaim. K'mo shenayagin as is done as bechol on weekdays. You're not to take off the various plants, flowers, weeds, etc., grass. You're not to take that all off. And didn't say the garden, but might I'm be there.
What are you doing with the grass?
You're not to take it off. Put it off.
What?
Growing. There's some growth. You know, some things you want to pull it off to clear up the. That Mishnah Berurah is referring, what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about is say something's growing and you want to cut it off because you're not meant to have, you know, it has to be respectful and mechavadik in the garden. So that's we're going to for beauty, it's time to cut off the thing. You're going to be allowed to do that in the garden as well. So now, Rabbi said, what is important is what the Mishnah Berurah adds to this halach, which is perhaps even more relevant, which is when somebody leaves the Beis HaKvaras, there's an ancient minhag. That one, what does one do? Yeah, a bit before that. Stones, something else. Take the grass and throw it behind you. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah brings over here. What you pull off some grass after kvuras hamayis, after burying somebody, zeichel tchia has remembrance of tchia shoy, that's permitted. To say for ma'amotchem in fact, because ma'amotchem doesn't like it so much. Because the bepshitias the shulchan aruch and the no. Surely that should be also as well. And that is the custom that somebody does go to basic verse on chalamot shlolitlish, but chalamot doesn't pull off grass on chalamot. So now, just to clarify, where does this minig come from exactly? What is this minig exactly? So it sounds like from the Mishnah Berurah that it's only referring to when somebody goes for after burial. Is that what people, Jonathan? You actually attend? You probably don't attend so much.
No.
Right.
No.
But
I don't
see
that. Right.
Don't people
to tie
grass around the stone? I think because to put stones on to when my grandmother passed away, Rabbi Epstein said, "Oh, you have to tie grass around the stone."
I don't know about that, Minik. Could be. I have no idea. I've never heard it, but could very well be. So the grass, where does that come from to pull off grass and throw it behind you? So the Mishnah Berurah does say already that Zeichel Techiyah is a remembrance of Techiyah, and the source of that is a passing in Tehillim, V'yatzitzu Me'ir, he brings it on V'yam 38, which is a two as well, passing in Tehillim, V'yatzitzu Me'ir Ke'esev Oretz, V'yatzitzu Me'ir Ke'esev Oretz. So we are, the grass represents growth, and we're hoping that there will be we were looking forward when the Tchias Hameisim, Tchias Hameisim, the reliving of the Niftorim of the death, of the dead, and that's also represented by Esa, by growth, grass which is growing. So there's that comparison, and therefore we throw up your hands as a remembrance of that.
So it will regrow.
It will regrow. It will regrow. Exactly. It will regrow. Yeah. So we throw it behind us. I'm not sure, quite sure the symbolic thing of behind us, but that's generally done. Now he speaks about kvura. I generally felt this even if you don't do a kvura. I always thought you go whenever you go to basic kvuras, you do that. But I'm not sure. He may just be ignorance. I'm not sure, but I always felt that not only by kvura. It sounds like you do it only by kvura from the Mishnah Berurah, but I think it's generally accepted.
What about stones?
Yeah.
What's the minhag about putting stones on?
Stones is not a problem. Chalamud, you do that anyway. You do that. Here the question is, because pulling off grass is really a melacha, yet you have to do it on chalamud.
What's the minhag of putting stones on a kever?
I don't know what the mekor of that is. I don't know what the source of that is. I don't know where it comes from.
Did you pick a stone out
from
the ground?
On Chalamot?
It's embedded in the ground.
Yeah, why not? It's not. I know you'd say that perhaps it's an element of Chorish or something, but I think that should be fine. Yeah. Right. Now, yeah. Now, Sefkot and Tovkuf Mem Ches, we're moving on. Din Avelus B'Chalamot. Okay. I forgot this is important as well in Sefkot and Chavav. The Mishnah Berurah brings about the Tanis Chaloim B'Chalamot. If somebody does fast on Chol HaMoed, why would somebody fast on Chol HaMoed? You don't have to fast. Why would somebody fast on Chol HaMoed? There's only one exception. Tanis Chalayim, somebody had a really bad dream. Then there's Halacha. The Gemara speaks about fasting. Pardon?
And what happens if somebody... What about if somebody puts tefillin on the Chol HaMoed and drops the tefillin because you normally would fast then?
Yeah.
Would you do that on the Chol HaMoed?
Yeah, so very good. So I want to talk about that when we get to the Halachas. Of Tanas Yochid, which is in a few weeks, Mitzvah, we'll talk about this in greater detail, because that's a very interesting question. that dropping tefillin chalila, what happens then? We will address it. But tanas chaloyim is something which is more of immediate, because you'd have to fasting for tefillin, you wouldn't have to fast on that particular day. However, tanas chaloyim, the whole idea of tanas chaloyim, it's got to be that you fast on that very day. That's the whole idea of tanas chaloyim. Not much point fasting a tanas chaloyim the subsequent day. That doesn't work. So do you fast on tanas chaloyim? The answer is yes, you can. You can even fast tanas chaloyim on Shabbos. So he says, but if a person does fast on chalamoyt, so chalameisav achamoyt tanez etanisoy, you've got to afterwards fast another fast as a kapor and tshuva for fasting chalamoyt. You're not meant to fast on chalamoyt. So if you do fast on chalamoyt, you've got to fast afterwards as a kapor another time.
Right, so that's, you said you can fast on chalamoyt Shabbos.
Even on Shabbos, if a person wants to fast because of a bad dream, he may do so even on Shabbos. Any on chalamoid and on Shabbos, same halach will apply. Shabbos chalamoid and Shabbos chalamoid, because that's the rule of a tanis chaloyim. A tanis chaloyim is a real thing. That if somebody has a really bad dream and he's really worried about this, the Gemara says the only thing that works against the bad dream is fasting, and he has to be on that very day. So if a person has chas v'sholem a bad dream on Shabbos, he's really scared about it, really shaken about it, he's allowed to fast on Shabbos, he's allowed to fast on Chalamoed, he's allowed to fast on any day, he's even allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah, because he had a bad dream. However, he's got to suffer some consequence from that and fast afterwards again, as a kapel for fasting on a day that he was running.
I thought you were allowed, I thought only Yom Kippur you would be allowed to fast. Yeah, on Shabbos.
But Yom Kippur, most people fast anyway, even if it's not Shabbos.
Yeah, I'm saying, but isn't it, aren't you, if you're fasting for a bad dream, aren't you not being Simcha Shabbos then? Because you're not really.
Absolutely, you're right. And that is, you're 100% right. And really, it's questionable as to why a person should be allowed to fast on Shabbos, because you're right, it's not Shabbos, it's not covered Shabbos, it's not, he goes against the basic rules of Shabbos. You've got to have three meals on Shabbos, you're right. But the Tanis Chaloyim gives us this heter, that if a person really wants to fast, because then he's got that exceptional rule and heter, that he may do so, although it's Shabbos. See, if a person is burying his close relative, on Yom Tov, lo yichal al avelus beregel. The avelus does not start on the Yom Tov, elan achar regel, but he only counts the 7 days of the avelus achar haregel. Maschilim leshiva v'noyik b'em avelus. So, if somebody has a close relative which dies on Yom Tov or on Chol HaMoed, so when does it start the shiva? He buries it straight away, of course. When does it start the shiva? When does it start the shiva? When does the shiva start? Can I have a shiva on Yom Tov? It's already right. So we're going to talk about cancellations. Not tonight, but we'll talk about cancellations. But here, he can't cancel it because he hasn't even started it yet. So the halacha is, you've got to start the shiva, and the shiva starts straight after Yom Tov. He starts counting the shiva, although it's a few days after he's been buried, but he starts the shiva after Yom Tov. For noyik b'ayim avelus, and he does all the halachas relevant to avelus. For moynish shloishim, however, when it comes to counting the shloishim, the 30 days, miyoyim akvura, that starts from the day of burial. For noyik b'shar shloishim, k'chol k'zeh shloishim, and all the halachas which are relevant to the shloishim will be kept from the time of
burial.
Absolutely, from the time of kvur, of burial, and not the time of shiva. So he's buried mid Yom Tov, mid Chol HaMoed. The shiva starts on. Shiva starts after Yom Tov. And he keeps all the halachas of the shiva. After Yom Tov, the shiva starts. However, with regards to the shloshim are starting to be counted from the burial. Very interesting, yeah. No, he will not. The davening for the omelet will not be, because you can't have avelus b'faisya on Yom Tov. You can't do public.
That's the point.
His
avelus
hasn't
started yet. Oh, I see. So
he wow, interesting, interesting. Yeah, you know, you're right. When you say a very interesting point, I believe to a valid question. I believe that it's still a sign because the shloshim have started. So he does. Yeah. So in many ways, he is. It would be symbolizing avelus. In But by the way, very important Mishnah points of cotton base. Why is it that there's no Avelis on Yom Tov? A really critical question. Yisrael Stig Shaila. Why is it there's no Avelis on Yom Tov? Why? Avelus is the... What? So, B'samachta B'chagecha, and therefore, so it tells us it's... So, therefore, yeah.
Come, do both. Pass on a low chair and be happy.
All right, okay. Is Avelus the Reis of the Rabbonon? Avelus, 7 days. Is the Reis of the Rabbonon? The Reis?
Yeah.
So, the concept of Avelus is the Reis. So what so we're stuck over here, right? You're telling me, "Samachtu b'chagecha," you've got to be happy, but you know, he's mevatel derais over here. How does that work? Well, how does that work?
Two derais.
Two derais. Why two?
Samachtu b'chagecha, not derais.
Okay, let's say it is. Yeah. So you've got two derais. So which one overrules which one? No, you're going the right track. You're going the right track. Says the Mishnah Berurah, "Cotton beis loichol." Avelus beregel. Why is there no Avelus on Yom Tov? Crucial, important, essential Mishnah Berurah. Seif cotton base. Loichol. To osim mitzvah say to simchas haregel, because the positive commandment of simchas haregel, of rejoicing the Yom Tov, shu aseid rabim, which is a general aseid rabim, a collective. Is that the word? A collective mitzvah. Tochi pushes away Avelus, a private individual, mitzvah velus, to rank mitzvah yochid, which is, it is a mitzvah deraisa, but it is private, individual. So, a collective mitzvah pushes away a private mitzvah. Isn't that an interesting rule? So therefore, the simchas haregel, which is collective, everybody, that overrules a private individual. He's the only one to be novel today. He's the only one. He's on his own. So public mitzvah pushes away a private mitzvah. So that's like it's an interesting chiddush. Therefore, there's no avelus on Yom Tov. You've got to wait for after Yom Tov to do the avelus. Very interesting Mishnah Berurah. Okay, we'll do see based Tumay Mitzvah. We are summarizing what we learned this evening. We learned no grave digging on Yom Tov unless it's needed for the mace today. We learned no cutting grass. Hey, is there any maintenance work taking place in the Chalamoid? Jonathan, sorry to bother you with that. Because that would be also lichoda. Maintenance work. You know, like grass cutting and, you know.
Yeah, probably does happen.
Does happen in Chalamoid? Wow. Did you hear that, Abou Issa? What's your opinions on that? Maintenance work. Yes, it should be. Perhaps. I'm not sure. It sounds like it's a bit problematic. Cut, however, just pulling off the grass and throwing behind you as the minik, the ancient minik, that's okay. With regards to burial on Yom Tov, you have to bury. Shiva only starts after. The Shiva starts after Yom Tov. The Shloshim start straight after burial. The Shloshim starts straight after burial, despite the fact that it's Yom Tov. And we spoke about the reason behind we don't do Avelus and Yom Tov. That's because I say the Rabbim, his doch, I say the Yochid. Okay, good evening, Abou Issa.